Welcoming to the show Seth Chappells, who's a general manager of Blue Wave Dubai, opening in September. He's a swimming coach. He runs Dubai Masters Swimming Club for adults. Hello and welcome back to the show, Seth.
Thanks for having me back, Suzanne.
Good to see you. And alongside you, Martin Taylor, swimming coach who runs Aqua Sport Academy and Tiger Sharks Dubai for kids. Hello and welcome to you.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Good to see you. And Jill Stanky, lifeguard for Safety Skills Training. She's the director of operations. A lot of experience being brought to us here in the UAE. She's got clients across the globe, from South America to Australia to Asia and here at home. So welcome to the show.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Hi, thank you.
And so let's catch up quickly with you, Seth. What have you been up to since we last met?
Oh, well, apart from doing lots and lots of swimming, Suzanne, I'm working on a fantastic project, actually. We're opening a new swimming complex in just at 4th Interchange near Mall of Emirates. Basically, the swimming complex is going to be a 6-lane, 25-metre pool, a teaching pool, and a splash park as well. We're due to open in September, but the emphasis is just on water safety there and getting, you know, exposure for children into a correct environment to learn swimming, so they're safe at home, on the beach, wherever they go, if they're on holiday, and just give them those life skills to enable them to be safe and water safe.
And so how do you all connect with each other, the three of you?
Okay, so I worked with Martin for a few months now. He heads up Aqua Sports Academy and Tiger Sharks Swimming Club for the children and all the satellite programs for that. And we use Jill as our safety expert, and also she uses our pools to deliver
lifeguard training classes.
Yeah, lifeguard training accreditations.
Well, good, because I'm looking at the news headlines around the UAE. So just coming out of the national newspaper, just in April the 29th, calls for better swimming pool safety after Dubai drowning. We'll get into that story in a moment. Also, lifeguard training in nearby aids should be mandatory. So what are the regulations here in the UAE? And when we're looking internationally at stories, and we are marking Riptide Awareness Week this week, we've got coming out of Australia, New South Wales, police warn swimmers after 5 drowning deaths. Apparently, men are more likely to drown than women. I don't know if that's the case. And then just recently, just last month, a 17-year-old boy was found dead after drowning in a lake. This was in the UK. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it got headlines really because Prince William was part of the emergency crew trying to rescue this teenager. Sadly, he drowned. So let's understand first riptides and what they are. Who would like to go with that one?
We're very fortunate in Dubai to not have huge riptides. Our beaches and our seas are quite calm compared to a lot of other countries. But I think that lures people into a bit of a false sense of security. So when they go on holiday to these countries that do have huge waves and go out surfing, they take it for granted that nothing's going to happen. And then you know what happens. You lose concentration for 1 second, or you lose sight of someone, and something tragic can happen. I think out here we need a bit more of information on other countries and what riptides are. I don't think a lot of people understand what riptides are and the effects that they can have on you. I think we need a bit more information out here. We have beautiful beaches out here, but I don't think there's enough information on what can happen out in sea. We concentrate so much on swimming out here in the pools. I don't think a lot of kids are very confident in the sea. And the sea can be great, but you need to make sure that you're safe. Putting all the lifeguards on out here has been a huge step, I think, in Dubai, which we never had before. But I think information needs to be given and knowledge needs to be given more than lifeguards.
So we can look at that. And I think it's funny, we're just talking in the first hour about travelling and holidays and being out of what you know, the environment that you know. And that's a classic one, isn't it? I remember sitting on a beach every day for 5 days in Portugal last summer, and there were no life. Not, I say there was no lifeguards. There was a couple of young kids that did have T-shirts on, but there was just two of them. And this beach was absolutely mobbed. It was full every day. It was a beautiful beach. And lots of shallow water, and I enjoyed it myself. Big waves, shallow waters. So people were sitting in the shallow of the sea with these crashing waves coming in, screaming and laughing, enjoying. Lots of children, shallow water. Brilliant. I sat and watched a kid being rescued, and I don't know how they managed it, because with just two people on this beach with so many people, it was a disaster waiting to happen. So is that an example of a riptide? Can you be in shallow water?
I think one of the bigger things is that people forget it's in ever-changing conditions. Okay, you may go to the beach at 10 a.m. and there's no onshore wind, and it's quickly by the afternoon it picks up, and then the conditions change. So it's always trying to keep yourself informed. Okay, I mean I'm a strong swimmer. Okay, but I'm always conscious of what I'm doing and how it can be affected, because I've been in a situation and having someone panicking when we've been snorkeling and had to rescue them and they're pulling me under, and I've had to tell her, you know, you have to calm down to actually, because the second thing is if someone's panicking with you and you're trying to help them, then they start to pull you under. So I think it's like when you're in that environment, you have to always be conscious of the changing environment and take note from the lifeguards. I mean, generally, you know, if you get caught in a rip current, I mean, you if you start fighting against it, you're going to get tired and then you're going to get exhausted. It's often better just to, you know, make sure that you know where the safety is, try signal to someone so they can come and rescue you.
Well, have a listen to this. This is exactly what happened to these people.
Well, my sister and I were just out there swimming, playing in the waves, and before we knew it, we were like probably 50 yards out and we couldn't get back in, and we just kept struggling and struggling, and I saw the lifeguards coming, so I waved for help because I knew I couldn't get in without them. I was panicking and my legs were burning and I couldn't breathe, and it was very, very scary.
My name's Elizabeth Petroselli, and I was just swimming in the ocean, and the ocean took me, a rip current took me out, and I couldn't get back, no matter how hard I tried, and I couldn't touch the bottom. And a lifeguard saw me, and I waved to her, and she came out to get me. So, and I'm a pretty good swimmer, so I was surprised that the ocean had such power.
The ocean had such power, yeah. And the ocean could take me.
And what she did say there is, like, as soon as you start to panic, that's going to be your downfall, okay? You know, you just have to, no matter how hard it is, you're going to have to stay relaxed, because if you start panicking, you make irrational decisions, and then you make bad decisions, okay? So you just really, I know it's easy for people to say, you know, you have to stay calm, but you must just stay calm.
And staying calm in the water, as in, you know, you're trying to swim, or what? I mean, what are you doing?
You really have to self-talk. You have to talk yourself out of it. You have to let yourself believe that you're okay. I've been stuck in a rip current as well. I'm a surfer, and being sucked out in Bali where there's nobody that can help you, and you have to relax and know that you can do it, and then you buy into it, and then you make it back to shore. But if you're not able to do that, you can easily slip either way.
So the idea is, if you can relax, mm-hmm. the water will bring you back in to shore, right?
No, it's relaxing in your head.
Yes, definitely.
And then knowing that if you, like Seth mentioned, if you actually swim against the current, it's going to be harder. You need to swim kind of with the current and then angle slowly into the shore. And if you're going to a beach that you're not sure, ask the lifeguards to sit and watch the water. It's really about being informed and knowing.
Well, we've got here drowning, some methods, some tips. Then flip, float, and follow. You familiar with this?
Yep. Flip, float, and follow essentially means flip onto your back. If you're lying on your back, your face is far away from the water, so you're not getting splashed. And then follow essentially means follow the coastline as well. So you're not traveling further out, and you're not going against the riptide, so you're staying close. What we were saying there is make sure you've got a lifeguard there. Yes, lots of these beaches don't have lifeguards, but if there is one, then stay within eyesight. You're not going to be silly and go off and where you can't see them. You need to make sure you stay in eyesight. And again, if you're not a strong swimmer, let them know. They can only work with what they know. They're not superheroes. They need to make sure that they know what they're looking out for.
Safety in water. We like the water here in the Emirates. It's hot. We like to cool down, whether it's in the compound pool, our own pool maybe, or indeed heading to the beach. Or if we're going to the weekend, the beach club at the weekend, and heading to the pool side, how equipped are you? How safe are you? You might think you're a good swimmer. Do you know what to do, for example, if you were to get caught in a rip current? Joining me here today is Seth Chapels, who's General Manager of Blue Wave Dubai. He's also is a swimming coach, but he also runs Dubai Masters Swimming Club for adults. Martin Taylor, swimming coach, who runs Aquasport Academy and Tiger Sharks Dubai for kids. Alongside Jill Stankey, who is a lifeguard for Safety Skills Training. She's the Director of Operations with Safety Skills Training, SST. And just to say happy birthday to Seth, because your family have just texted in to say, have a fabulous day.
Why, thank you. Funny enough, I have got my family staying with me, and they're all in, we've got a blow-up water park, and they're all in the garden this morning at 8 a.m. jumping on this, four little boys jumping on that. But, you know, even so, there's like 3 or 4 inches of water in that. And, you know, my mother was sat there with pretty much a stick telling them what they could and they couldn't do. So they didn't have a great start to the day.
You were a serious competitor, swimming competitor, weren't you, as well? So you've kind of been around water and grown up with that from the UK originally. And you're absolutely right to point that out. Even the paddling pool in the garden is a potential danger.
It is. And, you know, even to the extent that I mean, I'm quite a bit of a worry with my little boy. He's 2 now. And much to, like, my disappointment, he's not the best swimmer. He screams, he cries. But, you know, I take him religiously because I need him to be water safe. Okay, whether he's 2 years old, 4 year old, 5 year old, they need to have that life skill to continue a thing. Even if he's at home in a, you know, playing in a bucket, you know, eyes on the child. Never, you know, compound pools. Okay, make sure that the children are always watched at all times. If it's not a lifeguard and thing, don't have the thinking that, okay, someone else is there. Okay, someone else is going to take responsibility for my child, because, you know, they won't.
Even if there's a lifeguard there.
Oh, I say if there's a lifeguard there, I mean, for me, I would never leave my child. Okay, you know, Rafe is the most important person, apart from my wife, important person around. But, you know, I must, you know, I wouldn't trust him with anyone. But, you know, with lifeguards, as they get older, you know, they're more competent in the water.
So let's just set up then, what is the system in here in the UAE when it comes to lifeguards? Are they qualified?
Yeah, Dubai government has taken a few steps within the last year in telling everybody what's, you know, going on. And basically what's happened is that every lifeguard in Dubai will have to be certified under the same standardized kind of test. There's about 4 companies that are currently accredited by the Dubai government. And what's happening is by July 1st, every lifeguard within Dubai needs to run through this standard test through one of these 4 companies. And once they do that, they'll have a certification card and they'll be a certified lifeguard. A lot of these guards are being trained on different programs and things like that. Whether it's Ellison Associates, which is the company we work with, if it's Royal Life Saving or anything else, they have that core base of training and then they need to take that assessment. And it's a standard assessment across the board. So all beach guards, open water guards, they're tested on the same skills as the beach guards from Atlantis or Wild Wadi will be the same skill set as the beach guards on our public beaches.
Okay, really interesting. People texting in with questions. One here from Lisa. I was told to follow the riptide, figure out the direction of it, and swim out of it vertically. Is that really possible?
Yes and no. You can swim out of a riptide, but we're talking about how strong is the riptide. You don't have one certain riptide. All over the world, you have completely different levels. I would never say try not to swim with it. I don't think swimming with it, that's what the lifeguards are there for. I think what we're talking about is to try and relax as much as possible, keep your face above the water and try and get help. If you feel like you need help, that's what the lifeguards are there for. Never think to yourself, oh, I'm not going to bother them. That's what they're there for. If you feel like you need help, then please ask for help.
Yeah, I think that's like, don't be embarrassed to shout help. You know, don't think, oh, okay, I'm with my friends, you know, we've got a group of 20 people or something. I don't want to be the one who's like, think, you know, it's better to shout help than to, you know, get in trouble and then being revived on the side of the sand. You know, I think that's the thing also. You know, you need to know your limitations as a swimmer and think, okay, I can do this. Don't, if one of your group is like a really strong swimmer like me, and you know, you want to keep up with them and you're not so strong, you know, just stay within your comfort level. Don't push yourself, especially in an environment which is always changing.
And I think, you know, it was actually on the top of my list to ask you, and you've just touched on it there. You say you're a strong swimmer, and I might think that I'm a strong singer even. I love to sing and swim.
I'm definitely not a singer. I think everyone can vouch for that.
I think I'm mildly better at swimming than singing, I have to say. But so I might think I'm a good swimmer, but am I really? And that's the thing, isn't it? The ego and the
It's people's determination, it's people's like view of what's a strong swimmer. And we, you know, in our adult class, we get with people coming and they say, oh, we have like lane 1 is the slowest lane 6 is the fastest lane. Okay, and we have people coming and they go, oh, I'm really, really strong, I'm really, really good, you know, they're doing all their warm up on the side and they'll get in like lane 5, which is like second fastest lane, and by the 20 minutes in or 5 minutes in, they're back to lane 1. Okay, so they may be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like there's, you know, people's perceptions of what they are is different.
So to measure that for yourself, you know, kind of how to benchmark that.
Yeah, we obviously I deal more with children than adults, and we get it with same with children. We have phone calls to say, oh, I want to get my kid into swimming. They're a really good swimmer, an expert swimmer. So we have to assess them because people's perceptions are completely different. I was a competitive swimmer, so I know I'm a strong swimmer. Then you have friends that say, oh yeah, I can swim. But there's all completely different levels of swimming. I think it's just knowing your limitations. And if you're not sure of your limitations, don't push it.
Mm.
If you think I'm a strong swimmer, but I'm not sure, then there's no reason to go out any further than what you think you can do.
Mm. So as a recreational swimmer, say, you think you're quite strong, what would be a test, if you like, without putting yourself into danger? So is it about how long you can swim for? Is it about, you know, swimming out of your depth? You know, how would you personally measure it?
I think the biggest thing is treading water. If people don't know what treading water is, essentially keeping your face above the water for as long as possible. Obviously, I'm nice and relaxed in the water because I was a swimmer, so I can stay there for a long time. But you've got lots of people that can swim from one side to the other, get to the deep end and then panic. I think it's you need to be able to tread water, you need to be able to keep yourself up and be relaxed.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. And when you're looking at going to the beach, why do you need to go so deep? You know, like, why, what's the point? Unless you're there to swim for exercise or trying to catch waves or whatever, why do you need to go out so deep?
You just swim horizontally.
Yeah, you don't need to go swim to the buoys just to touch it and turn around and come back.
Yeah, well, someone else is saying that they think you should swim parallel to the shoreline to get out of a rip tide. That's correct. Or just generally, just because I do that, I don't go very deep, but I swim recreationally. I swim, you know, running parallel with the shore. But if you're trying to get out of a rip tide, is that also what you would take into consideration?
It's a difficult one, really. I mean, if I was personally in the riptide, I'd let it come out. I'd try get out of it. And as it got weaker, okay, I'd swim around it. You don't swim. You're not going to swim head on into a flow. Okay, if you're swimming head on to the flow, A, it's going to wipe you out, you're going to get tired, and B, you know, you're not going to actually get anywhere quick, so you may as well go with the flow, try to swim horizontally with it, try get out of it, and then once you're not in that flow or in that current, then you can start to make your way back in.
And as Jill said, and you've all said, relax.
Yeah,
and
that's,
your head,
that's key.
Don't panic.
Yeah, and if you need help, ask for help. I think that's the biggest thing. We're so embarrassed out here to say, I need some help. If you need help, you need help. I'm a competitive swimmer, but if I go out and I get into trouble, I'm gonna ask for help. I'm not embarrassed to ask for help.
Mm. Well, lots of you texting in, people asking about adult classes for adults. We can help you with that when we come back. Also here, Marco says, I consider myself fit. I run 5K 3 times a week and can run a half marathon. However, I can swim, but struggle to swim more than 50 metres.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm the opposite to you.
Yeah,
okay. I can swim 6-7K in the sea quite easily. And then, you know, I swim the channel also. But then if I run to the car from the car park, I'll have shin splints the next day and I'll be absolutely free.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of fitness. Okay. It is a different kind of fitness. You have a swim fitness and you have a dry fitness. So really, and that's why, you know, when we have our triathletes coming in, it is a tough sport because you have to master both of those fitness or be average at both.
Swimming is very technical as well. Obviously running's technical, but swimming is, moving in the water is very technical. If you can be super super fit, but if you get in the water and you're wasting energy and not moving in the correct manner, you're just wasting your time.
And we're talking about safety in the water, whether it be in the sea, in the pool, whether it's your pool, the compound pool, the hotel pool, how safe are you? You might think you're a strong swimmer, but what would you do if you got caught up in a riptide? We are marking a Riptide Awareness Week. It's this week. With my panel of guests, we've got here around the table Seth Chapels, who's General Manager of Blue Wave Dubai, that's opening in September. Very excited about that. He's a swimming coach. He runs Dubai Masters Swimming Club for adults, alongside Martin Taylor, who's a swimming coach who runs Aquasport Academy and Tiger Sharks Dubai for kids. Also Jill Stankey, who's a lifeguard for safety skills training as the Director of Operations. She's working with all sorts of clients, working with Ellison Associates Lifeguard Program, which is around the UAE at places like Wild Wadi, Atlantis and Yas Waterworld. Lots of people texting in on this. First off, Sajit's asking, is there anywhere in Dubai where adults can learn to swim without breaking the bank?
Yes, is the answer to that. We at Dubai Masters Swimming Club, there is an adults learn to swim program. There's two nights. There's a ladies only night, which is for beginners, and there's also a technique night on Sunday night. I think if you buy a block of 10, it works out to be about 40 dirhams a class. Okay. And it's by far one of the cheapest swim programs in the UAE.
Fantastic. So there's definitely choices out there. Also here regarding the legalities. So this person sharing their story. Could you expand on the legalities around helping someone in the water if you're not a Dubai registered lifeguard? I had a situation a while ago on the beach in which I helped someone, and when the ambulance arrived, they recommended that I left before the police arrived. I am a CH, not in Dubai. I'm a registered lifeguard. So this always comes up when we're talking about first aid and and have you had incidences like this?
I mean, we do a sea swim on Fridays, okay, and often that sea swim is like 6K, okay, and there's about a year and a half ago, one of our swimmers, it was quite rough on the way back in. One of our swimmers actually rescued a gentleman who was in trouble, okay. Then the lifeguards took over. I think it's important, like, if you're strong enough and able enough and you feel confident enough to help that person, then I think you have a duty of care to try help that person. But then when you have rescued them or brought them in and the lifeguard assists you, then you hand it over to the authorities or you hand over to someone who's qualified to deal with that situation.
We do a lot of first aid CPR training as well with SST, and there's one of the topics we talk about with first aid, and I would think we can align it basically with the lifeguarding as well. And we talk about duty to act. And within your duty to act, because we're training people who, you know, with their companies, let's say you're at the mall and somebody needed help, you would go, who would you contact? The people who are responsible for that at a mall would probably be security, and they would come in, do first aid, and they have the AEDs and everything else. If you're on the beach, it's the same idea. The people who are there, the duty to act would be the lifeguards on the beach. The duty to act at the water parks would be the people who are there lifeguarding at the water parks. So they're trained. That's what their job is supposed to be. And so allowing them to do that job, if it's even calling for help and getting them to engaged.
It's difficult as well because there are lots of people don't swim in the UAE, and yet we go into the water because we want to, you know, certainly right. through the summer months, you know, I see it myself. I go to the public beach. People are, you know, with their clothes on, going into shallow water just because it's a nice feeling. It's a lovely feeling, but they might not necessarily be able to swim. I saw something similar to this just a couple of weeks ago, and actually somebody, they were helping each other, friends, and they carried their friend out of the water. I think he just got tired. But I didn't do anything. I was just observing from afar because I'm not qualified to do anything about that if there is an issue. And it's something that comes up time and time again, is it's not, you know, you have to be careful if you're going to step in. However, you could call. You could call 999 or 998 for assistance.
Mm, yeah.
And that's what you should be doing. Yeah, so just be careful. But, you know, obviously, if you're in the moment, we did it on the first aid show a while ago. If you do make that call, they're going to talk you through it if you're able to help and assist. So, yeah.
At the end of the day, we're all humans. We all want to help. If we see someone in trouble, we see someone who's ill, you want to help. But you've got to think about yourself first and foremost. If you see someone who's in trouble in water, if you're a good swimmer, if you go out there, there's a very good chance that you could get yourself in trouble.
Exactly.
You've got to make sure that you look after yourself first. And then if there's the ambulance, or if there's any lifeguards or anything, then at the end of the day, you have to ask them to do it first. If you can get them to safety and not put yourself in danger, then make sure you phone emergency services before you do anything else.
This comment here, I was on holiday in Tenerife last summer and playing in the waves with my 13-year-old daughter. She got completely smashed under a wave, and then I did. It was one of the most scary things. I was completely wiped out. I was disorientated underwater. I didn't know what was up or down. It was very frightening. It was only when I washed up and walked back to my partner that she noticed something had happened. Respect the ocean. That also describes how quickly something can happen, how it can totally wipe you out and floor you. And, you know, sorry to say, we posted up on our website today, check out, but somebody talking and describing what it feels like to go under and to feel that you're losing, or even to feel like you're drowning. And I just want you to talk through that for us to understand. I'm not saying that you've drowned, but you'll understand it, what happens to the body.
No, when we are training, we train through stages of drowning. And I lived in Hawaii before I lived here, and all my lifeguards were surfers. And so I used to talk through the stages of drowning as you're getting hauled under surfing and getting worked in the water. But the first stage, they say, is surprise, because you're on top of the surface and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm drowning. I'm surprised. You're waving your arms. You could be yelling and screaming. Second stage, you then go under the surface and it's involuntary breath holding. Everybody knows that if you go underwater, you're going to automatically hold your breath. From involuntary breath holding, it takes about 20 to 30 seconds, we say, and you go unconscious. And once you go unconscious, your body relaxes and then your lungs can fill with water. Your mouth opens, and then you can go into, there's stages of hypoxic convulsion, cardiac arrest, and then death. And so that's our stages of drowning.
And, you know, just to hear that, you know, I'm looking here at the World Health Organization, their fact sheet when it comes to drowning. It's the third leading cause of unintentional injury and death worldwide, accounting for 7% of all injury-related deaths. So if we look here for children, child drowning statistics from a number of countries presented in the Global Report on Drowning. Here we go. Drowning is one of the top five causes of death for people aged 1 to 14 years for 48 of 85 countries with data meeting inclusion criteria. Australia, drowning is the leading cause of unintentional injury death in children aged 1 to 3 years of age. Bangladesh, drowning accounts for 43% of all deaths in children aged 1 to 4. China, drowning is the leading cause of injury death in children aged 1 to 14. You know, it shows you how serious this is, but it also is culturally, whether you're used to water or not, whether you grow up with people that swim and you learn to swim from a young age. So being careful and being aware as parents for your children.
Yeah, and it's all the countries you're mentioning there, it's all access to swimming pools. Coming from the UK, we have good access to swimming pools, but nothing like you have out here. For example, if I was to go and teach a 3 or 4 year old out here, they've probably been by a swimming pool, they've probably been in the swimming pool, they've probably been shown how to swim on some level. You go somewhere else in the world that doesn't have that access, then you're the complete opposite. And I think that's it's access to information, it's access to instruction, it's access to coaching. It's very limited in these countries. It's got so much better over here than it has been, even when I moved over here. The access to swimming pools and to information on swimming pools is so much better. When I came here 3 years ago, there was no lifeguards on beach. It was just signs to say, be careful, look out for these things. Even to have those lifeguards there, yes, it's not the end result, but it's at least we're moving in the right direction.
There's a night swim as well now, isn't there? The kite beach, is that happening? Yeah,
I've seen some articles on it, but I haven't had a chance
to go
and check
it out. Well, I drove down the other day because I wanted to go have a swim and I didn't see the lights on, so I'm quite curious about what's happening. I'd like to go down and have a little bit of a swim
but
myself.
But obviously only go in the water if there are lifeguards there.
And not if it's pitch black.
Exactly, and it's clearly lit, exactly, yeah. And being managed, of course. But yeah, it's supposed to be happening. Message here, why do most lifeguards at pools wear trainers and socks?
It's comfortable.
It's all right to wear trainers and socks even if you're a lifeguard.
Yeah, of course it is. If you go into the water, it doesn't make a difference. If anybody's ever stood around for hours upon hours in a pair of flip-flops, they are not the most comfortable things in the world. And I think at the end of the day, if you're a lifeguard and you've got a long shift on poolside, you want it, and you're standing up for most of that shift, you want to be comfortable. And yep, flip-flops are not the answer.
It's good to know, isn't it? They're trained. They're able to do it. I'm 37 and have a water phobia since... I'm scared of water, but I get these panic attacks while I'm in water and don't feel comfortable to swim. So my swimming skill is pretty zero and I need some help in order to play with my children in the pool. My question is, can I overcome this issue and get to swim anytime, and where I can start as a beginner swimming classes?
Yeah, I think you're never too old to learn. Okay, you're never too old to learn. It's going to be a journey. Okay, unfortunately, for that caller, you start far too late, and that's why it's imperative to start with babies and toddlers, things like this, and then you have exposure and you get down the line. But I personally, when I first qualified teaching swimming many years ago, I had a lady who was in her 80s and I taught her to swim. She came in the first day and she said, yeah, I've been in the pool, and then she got in, she took her feet off the floor and sunk straight to the bottom, and I was like, oh my goodness, and jumped straight in and pulled her up. But by the end of like a term worth of swimming, she was swimming, she was kicking on the front, relaxing, and she was becoming water safe. So you're never too old to learn. Okay, and there's programs in place where you can learn. Really, if you're absolutely zero, then you really need to go on to a one-to-one basis with a trainer, and just make sure that trainer's qualified, make sure that trainer is insured and things like this, because there's a lot of people who are just a bit cowboys out there doing that personal pools and things like that.
Mm. So make sure you ask the right questions about qualifications and regulation. But if you've got a fear of water, have you ever come across somebody that's just frightened of the water?
Actually, adults have probably proven to learn swimming a lot quicker than children. When we teach kids how to swim, they're only doing it because we're telling them how to do it. Whereas if you teach an adult, they can think about it, they can put it into practice, they can go over it in their head. I was a competitive swimmer at a good level. My dad is petrified of the water. He won't go in the pool. He won't be taught by me. He's not interested in listening to me. But you can have a real fear of the water, but it's about getting over that. And that's what having, as Seth said, one-to-one instruction is perfect. You can take your time with it. You can get in stages, you're not pushed, you're not feeling under pressure from anybody else jumping in the water. So if you've got a real fear, I would say yes, get a private coach, and you will learn very, very quickly.
Just for some success stories on that, I have a friend, I paddle a dragon boat, and there's a couple people on our boat that aren't strong swimmers, and it's about becoming comfortable enough with the water and working with someone who's actually going to help you and let you work on, because it is a head thing. But also, I have one friend who hasn't been, she wanted to do triathlons, was not a swimmer. She couldn't swim. She was the girl wearing the life jacket in the boat. She's doing triathlons now, and she does a great job. So it's fantastic. And she did all that here in Dubai as well. So
fantastic.
There's people out there.
Yeah, for sure. Talking swimming safety, water safety, swimming, and understanding your level of swimming fitness, if you will. Seth's here, Martin and Jill, they're experts in swimming, working in the field here in the UAE. Lots of people texting in with questions about the different kinds of programs that you run. One here, you know, recommending a good swimming school with one-on-one instructors. Also, when it comes to children, let's start with you on this, Martin, how young can you start to swim, learn to swim?
You can start to swim from any age. We usually say roundabout, we take them from 6 months. So we have our baby classes. So the parents come in the water with the kid. For that, I mean it's great for confidence. We mostly aim that at parents who are not comfortable in the water. If you are comfortable in the water and as a parent, get your kid in as much as possible at that level. When they're baby, get them in, get them splashing. One of my good friends has just had a baby, and me and my girlfriend, we're both swimming teachers. We just take her in the pool all the time. We don't do any teaching, we don't dunk her, we don't get her to kick her legs, but we get her in and play with her, so that when she gets to the point where she's ready to swim at 3 years old, we don't have to go through that. Or you're not very confident in the water, you don't like getting the water in your face.
I mean, how is it, you know, when I was I love water, I'm a real water baby, and I can remember swimming from a very young age, but my family were in the water with me, but I learnt to swim at school properly. So if your parents are thinking, well, we've got the compound pool, we're teaching our toddler, we're in the pool every day for an hour or whatever, that's fine. You know, you've got your armbands on, you've got all that safety equipment. But ultimately, to learn to swim properly, do you need a qualified instructor to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say most schools out here have access to swimming pool and have access to swimming lessons through the PE. The problem with them is it's a very high number of pupils to an instructor. You may have one teacher to maybe 20 to 30 kids, which is great for some kids who are very confident. If you've got that one or two that don't like being in the water or not very comfortable, then you need to get into swimming lessons. We pride ourselves on having small numbers, so we have 4 kids to 1 instructor. So it's a very, very small ratio, which means most of the kids can get almost one-to-one instruction. And I think that's the biggest thing. Yes, school swimming is fantastic, taking them in the pool is fantastic, but if you want them to learn the technique, and coming from my own personal experience from swimming to a high level, it was huge for me. I'm now sitting here in front of you as a swimming coach, and I have been for 10 years, and that only came through swimming. That came through my mum and dad taking me to swimming lessons from a young age, from taking me to training countless hours every single day, and now I'm sitting here in front of you, and it's what I love doing.
Do you need to know all of the strokes, you know, to be I don't do front crawl anymore. I can't be doing with going underwater, my head down. You know, I just breaststroke. That's me. Maybe a bit of backstroke. You know, do we have to know all of the strokes?
I think children, you should learn all the strokes. Okay, it gives you a rounded swimming ability. It gives you skill sets. You know, you enter MINDS programs, and you learn your survival techniques. You learn tumble turns. And when you get to a certain level, I think the dolphin level, you can either go into a squad environment or you can go to water polo, you can go synchronized swimming, but you've got the skill set which you will have for your entire life. Okay, people later in life, if you come to me and you want to learn front crawl, we can make it easy for you. Okay, if you don't, seriously, if you don't like putting your face in the water, there's probably a reason, because you're not breathing correctly. Okay, probably you're breathing out too late, or your rotation isn't good enough and then you're sucking in water, something like that. So there's always a way. But I would say for minimum, breaststroke, yeah, it's a great one. Front crawl, yeah, and backstroke. You don't need to do butterfly, Suzanne.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need to be doing butterfly down on the beach. It's okay.
We don't need a tsunami wave coming in, do we? If I'm out at the sea, it's really interesting, isn't it? We've talked all about safety, but we haven't. It's a health show. We haven't actually talked about the health benefits of swimming. So let's touch on that. We have talked about it before. Not only good for our physical health, but our well-being as well. You know, that sort of meditative effect. It's a great de-stressor.
For me, I'm not in the pool as much as I probably should be.
Yes.
But it's the one thing that clears my head more than anything. And it's funny, because you are alone, you're not listening to music, but you're not thinking about it. I personally am not thinking about anything else that's going on, but it completely clears my head. So
I agree with
time
that.
To get back in the pool.
It is. I mean, it's very I think swimmers are a different breed sometimes. I mean I used to swim four to 5 hours a day. For many years, and you know, people say to me, is it not boring? I think, you know, I was just quite happy with my own like thoughts and swimming up and down. And I think once you get into swimming, it really is a fantastic sport. And it's such it's brilliant environment in this country, because you're outside, you're in swimming. B, you stay healthy, you meet some great guys, so you be part of a team, and you can swim. It's fantastic.
We started off the hour marking Rip Current Awareness Week and keeping us safe in the waters, either at home or away if we're on travels over the summer. Just quickly, some headlines here. Reports released this month by the Royal Life Saving Society and Surf Life Saving Australia show that the vast majority of people who drown in Australia on Australian beaches are while using boats or watercraft, and they're male, tend to be. Also, alcohol is listed as a common contributing factor. Another article here regarding, very sad indeed, Kevin Chitwood, 50 years of age, drowned while trying to save his daughter and her friend from a rip current off the Gulf of Mexico. They're just a long list of stories. Before we wrap up today, what do you think, what is the highest risk factor when it comes to being safe in the water?
I just think really you just need to be knowledgeable about your own ability. I mean, if someone is in trouble and you can help them, then fair enough, but don't put yourself into a situation which could endanger yourself. Also, people with pets, you know, if your pet is out and out in a lake and you're trying to rescue your pet, the dog will come out on its own. Okay, don't put yourself in danger to rescue an animal. 9 times out of 10, the animal will find their way to the side, and then you just need to understand your own ability, understand the environment. If you're in a beach or a lake, it's ever changing. Okay, winds come in, winds go out, you know, keep an eye on the lifeguard, what's going on, and just really, you know, you do just just be careful, very careful.
And what we were talking about before is the first thought in your head should be, am I safe? That must be horrific, seeing your daughter going under the water and not being able to do anything. And I think anybody in the same position would jump in. But you've got to think at the same time that you've got to make sure that you're safe as well. Was there anything that they could have thrown in to help? If you're going up the side of a lake, is there a huge tree trunk? Is there a rope? Is there something that you can throw to help them? First and foremost, make sure you're safe. Because if you go in and you both go under, then there's two casualties.
Two lives, isn't it?
And then someone who comes along has two casualties to then rescue.
Yeah. That's also the core of what we're training lifeguards with, too, is that your safety comes first, no matter what. That's why they hold the red rescue tubes. That's why they have the rescue cans and all the other equipment that is to assist them, gloves, oxygen masks, everything.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. Really helpful, really insightful as well. I'm going to round off with this message from Yasir saying, I'm 28 years of age and I'm still learning how to swim and absolutely loving it.
Yay. Excellent.
Fantastic. Good for you. And yeah, as you said earlier, you're never too old to learn to swim. Nope. And get that confidence in the water. Really enjoy it. Enjoy the water if you can. Big thank you to Seth Chapels, General Manager of Blue Wave Dubai, opening in September. He's swimming coach. He runs Dubai Master Swimming Club for adults. So check out all their programs there, one-on-one or group swims. We post up all the details up on our website, alongside Martin Taylor, swimming coach who runs Aqua Sport Academy and Tiger Sharks Dubai for children. And Jill Stankey, thank you very much, lifeguard for safety skills training, SST, and director of operations. Thanks so much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you
very much.